Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven.
Christmas Day schedule is out. Ready to go.
Yeah.
NBA, let's go.
Hawks on their schedule. Right?
No, your Hawks got left out. Just kind of shows not one of the more exciting teams. Sorry, guys. Sorry about that.
I won't say that. I'll say this because we don't have a rivalry yet.
Mm.
They could have put Luka Trey.
They should have put Luka Trey on there. That's what it'll be next year. Mark it down.
Nobody wants to watch the Mavs kill the Hawks.
Mark it down. Within 2 years,
guys.
Within 2 years, we'll have Hawks Mavs on Christmas Day.
Get to prove how much better Luka is than
Cam Reddish is going to be the best player out of those three whenever in like 2 years from now anyway.
Reddish is nice.
You guys don't mean that, Rob. What is this Cam Reddish praise? Every time we talk about the Hawks, it's Cam Reddish this, Cam Reddish that.
You should watch more
basketball. Did you watch him?
Yeah, watch more basketball, bro. All right, so run down the Christmas Day games, please.
We have Pelicans going up against the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Miami Heat. Zion, Jimmy Butler.
I don't like that matchup.
Yeah, tell me the Hawks couldn't beat.
Kind of weird. I guess is that what we're excited about is Zion, Butler?
It's Zion, it's Ingram. I mean, like the Pelicans, they want us to watch them. And what's his name? Van Gundy. They want us to watch them. And, of course, the Heat. The Heat had to get a Christmas Day game just because – they did win the East.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, by far the worst game, just because.
And that's probably why it's at noon, because nobody's going to be watching it. But
that's where they used to put the Knicks.
Yeah. Just to get the Knicks fans happy. Warriors-Bucks at 2:30. Interesting.
Did they make this before Klay popped his Achilles?
Probably. Sadly. Well, timeout. Kelly Oubre stepping in. They've got to step.
Oh, yeah, Kelly Oubre. He's just as good as Klay Thompson.
I didn't say
sure.
that. I'm just saying they're still watchable team. They're still going to be a good team.
That's fine. But, like, again, it's Christmas Day. I'm not going to nitpick too much. But would everyone not have wanted to see, like, Warriors, Pelicans, and
Heat.
Bucks, Heat? Yeah. More like that. Isn't that more of a rivalry, Bucks, Heat? Like, they knocked him out of the playoffs. Like, Giannis versus Jimmy. Is that not the matchup we actually wanted?
Mm-hmm. I feel like all these matchups are kind of like they're trying to not do just a basic rivalry. They're trying to like do something a little different because, I mean,
what's the third one? The third one's Brooklyn Boston, though, right?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a rivalry.
That's Kyrie.
Yeah,
where's that
division.
Game at?
In Boston. Yep.
Boston's
in the Garden.
Boston's not gonna have any fans though. They're pretty strict up there, so I guess they won't get to boo Kyrie. Kyrie will finally get to play in Boston without being afraid of getting.
But, I mean, the Nets, that's going to be one of the more intriguing teams going into the season. Another thing, though, Kemba probably won't play in this game, really, because he's going to be out till January. So the Celtics also be a little bit shorthanded in that game as well, taking on the Nets. But that is at 5 o'clock. And then 8 p.m. Eastern, I think the game probably most everybody's excited about the most, and that's Mavericks, Lakers, Luka, LeBron. Pretty good. I'm excited about this one.
That'll be fun.
And then it caps off 10:30. You have the Clippers at the Nuggets. So rematch of the playoffs last year when the Nuggets came back from 3-1. So
Nuggets-Clippers was the other one?
Yep, that's what will cap off the night. That's it. So what do you think? How do you grade this this NBA Christmas schedule? What's the grade you're giving it?
C-.
Ew, that's ugly.
Are there any teams that got left off that you want to see besides the Hawks?
Sixers. I think six. I was kind of surprised Philly wasn't on there just because they're kind of an intriguing team as well. That's about it, though. I mean, who else is Suns? But I mean, Suns don't have a big market.
I was going to say the Suns would be – I'd be interesting seeing them. But, like, you have to earn a Christmas Day game.
You do.
You have to earn that.
They could have threw them at the 10:30 game, though, and kind of been fine with it, I think. But, yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather see Suns, Clippers.
Yeah, I would, too. But, yeah, that is your NBA schedule for Christmas Day.
The Rockets. Thank God we don't have to watch the Rockets on there.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess that's. I mean,
you have to earn it. Hawks will be on there next year, Cam. Don't worry, we're coming.
Playing the Mavs, whatever. Who would be the Hawks considered rival? Whether it's Charlotte,
it would be like the Heat or somebody or the Celtics.
It's the Heat or Celtics. But like the Celtics don't view us as a rival, but we view.
Of course not, because they have a rivalry with everybody else.
Not really. They just have a rivalry with like the Lakers and Sixers. Who else?
I feel like them and the Raptors.
Them and winning championships since.
Yeah, basically.
Since 1986. I don't know. The Hawks and Celtics have a little bit of a rivalry. They played in the playoffs a couple times. And There was that big Dominique Larry Bird showdown in the mid 80s. But yeah, we don't really have any rivals. Dallas now.
Well, just because of the Luka Trey situation, yeah, that's what you guys are pinning that against?
Everyone's mocking the Hawks. I'm so ready for Hawks basketball.
I am too. I'm ready too.
Watching two college basketball games last night, I was like, I can't wait for the NBA to be back.
Yeah.
Watching that Kansas-Kentucky game, I was like, please, NBA, hurry back.
Yeah.
Next headline, please.
Speaking of college basketball, Michigan State, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, got a big win in Duke in Cameron Indoor. Pretty impressive, even without the Duke crazes. And Tom Izzo, you know, he thinks it's impressive as well. This was his first ever win at Cameron Indoor, and he said, I'm not going to put this as an asterisk. He said, this is a big win for me. This is a big win for a team, and he's not going to try to discredit it any. But how much, since we kind of got a couple of big games under a belt, how much did you guys notice no crowd, especially with the Duke game, right? I mean, with how big of an impact those fans make for each game, was it pretty noticeable for you guys?
It's been really noticeable in college sports.
Yeah.
NFL, I don't really care.
NBA, I feel like it doesn't really matter either, honestly.
No, the bubble, I didn't miss it at all in the bubble, really. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple moments. Like, I wish Luka would have hit his game winner in Dallas. That would have been cool. Like, I mean, Butler doing cool things in Miami would have been cool. But, like, I didn't really miss it that much there. But college sports just need it, man. Because, like, that's the only thing I have going for is, like, passion. And, like, the bands and stuff like that. Like, you need that type of stuff to mask the inferior product.
The band is a big hit. The band not getting that college atmosphere. I think that's the big difference between college
pros.
That's
what they have. That's the only thing they have is like, hey, you have ambiance here. You have traditions. You have this and that. And when you don't have that, you're just like, we're just watching bad sports at this point.
Right. Speaking of NBA, since we're kind of on the topic, I got asked about Kevin Durant, KD. You see what he talked about. He said he's feeling good, first of all, which is great. Feeling good. He said, I feel good playing. He said, I'm just taking it a day at a time. But he did say that recovering from the Achilles injury was it was difficult for him. It was one of the toughest challenges he's had to face. He said it shouldn't be underestimated, just the whole process, getting back walking and everything. So him just kind of talking about that, does that scare you guys just a little bit that KD might not come back the same guy? I mean, I feel like he's not going to come back the same, but how much of a drop-off do we expect in his play now that we are – literally less than a month away from getting to see him play. I'm assuming he's going to suit up first game, opening game.
I think Durant is still going to be elite offensively.
Still got the jump shot.
I worry about how Durant will be defensively.
And that was always underrated about him, right?
Durant was a really, really good defender. Like, and it was underrated because like he could protect the rim and he could guard 1 through 5. I mean, like, obviously he's not going to bang with the center for long, but like if you get him under the rim, he can block shots.
Right.
You're not putting him on it. Joel Embiid, though, obviously. But like, that's what I'm worried about, and that's what made him one of the two best players in the league. Him and LeBron both, like, they both could do that. And if he's still elite offensively, he'll still be a top 10 player. But like, if he's going to be top 3, he still needs to be really good on defense, and that's what I'm worried about with his Achilles. You think he'll come back as normal, Cam, or going to be slipped a little
he's
bit?
He's going to slip a little, yeah. I think, and I.
Achilles are just so tough.
Yeah, I think it's also going to be that kind of like he's going to get used to not being as explosive, and I think that will take a month or so too. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm happy he'll be back out there, though. I'm looking forward to having him in the league. You know, it makes the league better. But, yeah, those Achilles are tough. Those are tough.
The pandemic, I mean, that kind of helped him, right? He got that extra 3 or 4 months of being able to kind of sit out and not have to do anything, so that was kind of good. So we'll see. That's going to be fun. Nets Celtics, we'll see how he looks. Did you guys see Notre Dame locked up a ACC championship spot with the scheduling changes that they had to do? Notre Dame is locked in, ready to play Clemson.
It's going to be really – you have to be so mad if you're like a, you know, Miami.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the scheduling changes is what locked them in, nothing else.
And, you know, like you – Notre Dame would have got in anyways because they beat Clemson head-to-head. But, like, maybe there's a 3-way tie that they could have – had something shake out. But I just mean, like, you have to be so mad if you're a school like Miami who can't win the ACC, and now Notre Dame's in there for 1 year and they might win it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how that conference championship game goes if it is Clemson versus Notre Dame. The officials have to cheat Notre Dame. You can't let them come in and win.
No way.
That would be bad. That would look bad on the ACC. What about, you think Notre Dame's going to stay? I think they'll stay, right, in the ACC after this year? You expect that?
No. I don't know. I think they're going to go back and be like, see, we told you we could do it if we wanted to, but we don't need to because we're Notre Dame. Pretentious stuff.
I feel like if they won, they may be more inclined. Like, hey, maybe we should just stay. But then again, if you lose, maybe we'd be like, hey, we'll come back next year. I don't know. I think they will stay, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, they've locked in a spot. ACC championship game ready to go. They'll be waiting on Clemson. It appears that both teams will also have a bye week before the ACC championship game. So December 12th, both teams will have a bye before that that big game. So that'll be a big one. Going to the NFL. Do you guys see?
If Notre Dame won, I was like, we don't really care.
Yeah,
this isn't about the ACC championship. We don't care about this conference. This was just a means to get to the conference champ to the 14 playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your trophy. They just break it. I don't want it.
Just give it to Clemson. Yeah, hey, y'all can keep it if you want.
Don't even bother with their shirts.
bigger goals.
This is why we don't join conferences. They're too easy.
Yeah,
we want to challenge ourselves.
That's gonna be a fun rematch, by the way, with Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, and Notre Dame. December 19th is coming up too, a couple weeks. Want to move to the NFL though? Talk about Tyrod Taylor. Apparently, declined to file a grievance against the Chargers. What a team player!
What an idiot!
Yeah, I saw that.
I was really confused, man. I mean, he's going defending his doctors, defending his team. He said that he's not going to press charges, do anything like that against the doctor who punctured his lung in that mishap. Feels like forever ago. That was week two of the NFL. That costed Tyrod Taylor, by the way, costed him his whole season. He's not played since week one, and it's because of this punctured lung. So I'm based on your reaction, I think you would handle this a little bit differently, correct?
I mean, it cost him his starter's job.
Yeah, but as long as he still gets paid, I mean, whatever.
Let's say he's still getting that check and not having to go lose every Sunday the Chargers do. So
how long does he have to make file a grievance? Can he file something else? I mean, like, is there... If they cut him this offseason, will he be able to go back and like file a grievance like for lost wages? Like, is he maybe waiting to see how much wages he loses?
I could imagine. I imagine he could still like extend that a little bit. But
I'm not sure how that works.
I doubt
either.
He has a ton of incentives or anything in his contract though, which would I think be his biggest like.
Right, but I'm just saying like if he gets cut and then doesn't get another job, because like he was technically a starting quarterback for the Chargers, so you can make the claim I lost my wages, and now I can't get a starting job because of the way you injured me. Like, there could be something there. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, I think he could do that for sure, at least after the season, but,
Either way.
It's interesting. Real quick, you mentioned yesterday that it looked like Tennessee was going to reschedule a non-conference opponent, UT Martin, and it is official. They're going to play December 9th, 7 p.m.
Let's get it going.
UT
a week
Martin
from today, huh?
UT, yep. That'll be the first game, right? Because everything before that got canceled. So
correct.
First game, little Tennessee rivalry. Tennessee, UT Martin squaring off. That'll be in Thompson Bowling Arena as well. So we will finally get a taste of some UT basketball sooner rather than later.
Hayden said it during the break, but I do think he is 100% correct. We are probably fortunate that we're not playing Gonzaga today.
Yeah.
Gonzaga has looked really, really good so far this year, and I don't want to play them as we're breaking in a completely new rotation.
I was about to say, imagine opening up with Gonzaga. Yeah. That would maybe get ugly, just a little bit.
It'd be cool to be on the spotlight, but I don't think we're ready for that just yet. Now, Kansas, on the other hand, I'm champing at the bit for a chance to play Kansas, like when we get them in January.
Yeah, especially after watching them yesterday.
I want to play them. I want to play Kentucky ASAP. Let's get those guys on the schedule. Good batch of headlines, Draven. We'll come back. I had something I wanted to transition to. Oh, I guess we can talk Kentucky, Kansas, I guess. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. If you're in need of a lawyer, you need to call my friend Jerry Givens. I've known Jerry since high school and can personally vouch for him. He's East Tennessee through and through, and if you're going through a divorce, bankruptcy, or a DUI case, you'll need someone you can trust on your side to help you navigate the local legal system. You can trust Jerry Givens. Call the law offices of Jerry Givens today at 865-801-9250 to schedule your free consultation. That's 801-9250.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-675-1833. That's Admiral Vet and online at AdmiralVet.com.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression that needs to be released, and we've got just the perfect way for you to do it. Throwing axes at Craft Axe Throwing. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville on 5th Avenue, Craft Axe Throwing offers beers, seltzers, TVs, and axe throwing, and is the absolute best way to spend an evening with friends. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. Plan your visit today at craftaxethrowing.com.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's easy. In the Mitsubishi at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with payments as low as $179 a month. Plus, we're giving you $4,000 over KBB for your trade and $8,000 off of addendum. It's easy in a Mitsubishi. If you're upside down in your vehicle, we can get you out so you have nothing to worry about because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Not only that, but your new Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Best payments in the industry as low as $179 a month for a brand new vehicle because it's easy in a Mitsubishi. And at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike, we're not worried about your credit. We're going to get you approved because we own the bank. And it's easy in a Mitsubishi. Yes, you can afford a new car at Alban Franklin Motors because, say it with me, it's easy in a Mitsubishi. 9711 Kingston Pike, just across from the Chop House. What are you waiting on? We're waiting on you because it's easy in the Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors.
Logo Solutions is a one-stop shop located right here in Big Orange Country. That's right, we are not just threads. Logo Solutions provides over 1 million customizable products, including apparel, headwear, promotional products, signs, banners, business cards, and more. You have a logo, we have a solution. Start shopping today at LogoSolutionsInc.com or call RB at 865-966-3434 for your free consultation and quote. Logo Solutions, right product, right price, right on time.
One of these instances where I hate the conversation that goes on during the break. Right before the mic comes on, I hear Cam say, I kind of like Lipscomb to cover the 12 and a half for Cincinnati. And I'm just like, what is wrong with people?
Come on, Cincinnati's not that good. Lipscomb can score.
Who is Lipscomb? Isn't that school in Tennessee?
They are. Are they really?
Are they any good at basketball? I didn't know they had like a D1 basketball team.
They're good enough to cover the spread.
Lipscomb?
Yeah, they made a tournament a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Might have been
lying. Yeah.
So they won their conference one time a couple years ago? That means they could take 12 against Cincinnati? Okay, fair enough.
They're going to cover.
Oh, yeah, why?
Because they can score a little bit. Cincinnati, they couldn't even score last year, and they lost their leading scorer from last year.
All right, so you're putting a parlay together for Hayden's basketball picks. Let's hear it. So Lipscomb plus 12.
Plus 12 and a half. That is on the lower end of my confidence. But
okay.
But my biggest confidence is I think Stanford will handle Indiana today. I think that's in like 30 minutes or so. I think Arkansas will cover 14.5 tonight, and I think Michigan will cover 15. And I kind of like Illinois, the win at Baylor, win against Baylor today.
I want to know what Illinois basketball fans feel like.
I mean, they're one of the top five teams favored to win the championship this year.
This year they are?
Yeah.
Okay, so Illinois is back?
Yeah, them and Baylor are both, like...
Well, I knew Baylor was.
Up there.
So. I don't think I realized Illinois was a top five team. Okay, so...
That guard they have is nice. That, what's his name? It's like Ayo. It's been something with a D. I don't remember, but he's cold.
I believe it's, is it 5v2 tonight or 4v2 in that Baylor game?
5v2. Sure.
5v2.
Yeah. Who's Baylor playing?
Illinois.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a good game tonight, yeah.
Well, no, that's what I thought you were saying, but I just wanted to – I knew you had just said they were both top five, but I didn't know the connection there.
Yep. Jimmy V Classic.
Well, I guess I was asking because I was, you know, I still remember that undefeated Illinois team.
Oh, yeah.
And they were on top of the world with Deron Williams, and I feel like they've been pretty terrible since then. Have they had any success since then, really? I mean, like
– not a ton. I think they just have some really good, like, freshmen and stuff now that they're, like, finally coming together.
Okay. Well, that checks out. I was just wondering.
Hopefully it's not as sloppy as last night's game.
That, man, that game was so bad last night. Like, do we think Kentucky can figure it out? Like, because obviously Calipari's done this before. Right.
Yep.
Calipari's done this before where he's taken a team that doesn't look good and he makes them good. Like, he's good at doing that. But when I'm watching them last night, I'm like, man, this team can't shoot at all.
Yeah, they can't hit threes.
Can you teach somebody to shoot? Like, I don't think you can do that. Like, is it just a slump, or do they just have a bunch of – because they have a lot of athletes. Like, don't get me wrong. They are long and athletic. They play really good defense. It felt like they blocked 30 shots last night. Like, they had a lot of rim protection. They got a lot of freak athletes who can play good defense. Don't mistake that. But I do wonder – if you can't shoot the basketball, what your ceiling is, can they overcome that? Can they learn to shoot? Is it just a cold start? Because they're going to have to be able to do that if they're going to be any good. And right now, the last two games, they have been very, very, very bad from three.
Very bad. And obviously, it hurt them in both immensely, especially, you know, against like that Richmond team. Which, you know, they should be able to. Richmond's a good team, but they should be able to beat Richmond, and they just couldn't score, and Richmond took advantage of that. And
well, against Richmond, Kentucky went 12 of 25 in the paint.
Okay.
Or, like, on layups and dunks. So, like, I mean, like, that is something I think you can fix because they are long and athletic. I think that will correct itself. Against Kansas last night was bad, too. They're 11 of 19, which is a little bit of improvement, but not good enough.
Yeah.
So I think that part of their scoring, Cam, will get better just because they're too athletic. They're too long to not be able to finish around the rim.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, their last two games, they went 1 of 23 from the three-point line.
They even went 6 of 16 against Morehead State.
And the 1-3 Kentucky hit was, like, a runner at the end of the game, like, where it was off balance to basically – I don't know, cover the spread. I mean, they were down four. If they miss, they're not going to cover. They end up, you know, hitting a runner with 10 seconds left and giving themselves a chance to only lose by three. Did you watch that game, Draven?
Nah, I didn't really watch much of it.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah, it was ugly. They couldn't score.
Duke also looks to be in the same boat. Duke doesn't look very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watch a little bit more of that game. Michigan State's pretty good, though.
Michigan State's got the same team they always got.
Yeah, they do. But
which, I mean, that's not putting down Michigan State. They'll be an Elite Eight, Final Four type of contender. Yeah. They're just, you know, Izzo runs maybe a dirty program up there. I'm kind of surprised he's survived a little bit since, like, D'Antonio didn't, but he's...
But they are what they are.
They are. They're just going to do the same things on offense and defense, and they'll win a bunch of games, and they'll grind you out, and, you know, Cassius Winston's finally gone, but they got another guard, I'm sure.
I say Rocket Watts is really good. You guys watch him? What a cool name, first of all.
It is a cool name.
That's a good name.
It is a cool name. So, like, when I look at the other teams in the top 10, we had them on winners and losers. Mm-hmm. You know, the losers were the top 10. They had a lot of losses. When you watch them, they look all beatable.
Yeah.
Except Gonzaga. Like, that's I've been really impressed with Gonzaga so far. I haven't watched Illinois. I haven't watched Baylor. Maybe I'll watch some of that game tonight to see how those two teams look because they're both, like you guys said, top five teams.
Yeah. I think we'll find out a little bit more about Gonzaga today, maybe. They're playing
West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia today, who's a top 11 team. So
I was surprised to see West Virginia was ranked ahead of us.
Still a 7-point spread for Gonzaga.
Well, that's how good Gonzaga's looked. It's like Gonzaga looks to be very potent on offense.
Yeah, they can score.
They look to be playing the closest thing to like an NBA offense, just in terms of the ball movement and
like, I don't know how good that Kansas defense is, or just, like you said, Kentucky can't shoot.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kansas defense looked good last night against Kentucky, and Gonzaga dropped 100 on them.
Yeah.
So I feel better about our chance of winning the SEC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, like, I'm not saying Kentucky can't figure it out, but I will say that Kentucky, you know, how many more games do they have? We look at their schedule, Hayden, like, how many games do they have before SEC play? How many warm-ups do they get? Because they seem
Georgia Tech next.
They seem a way away from
four games.
Four games. Who they got the next four games?
They have at Georgia Tech versus Notre Dame versus UCLA at Louisville, and then they play South Carolina.
Okay. What's their first couple games in conference, Cam?
South Carolina at Mississippi State versus Vanderbilt, and then they go to Florida.
What an easy start to their SEC play.
Easy start. Yeah.
Because I was gonna say like they're not gonna get figured out by SEC play, but they get three games of SEC play before they play anybody with a pulse.
Yep.
So it's probably going to be the same Kentucky situation that it's always been.
They'll be trying to peak, I mean, by the time the tournament comes around. So, I mean, I do think Tennessee should feel good about their chances of winning the regular season championship,
mm-hmm.
or at least being ahead of Kentucky in the regular season. Now, again, like, they're going to be getting ready for tournament time. they'll be a tough out in Nashville.
They got to play Texas in their Big 12 challenge, too.
I'd say Kansas is still tougher than Texas, though. Yeah. I mean, Shaka's undefeated so far, and maybe the hair has turned things around for him.
They played North Carolina today.
Yep.
Shaka's got hair?
You haven't seen it?
You gotta go find that picture, man. It's
rocking
wild.
A little. I mean, you wouldn't call it an afro, right? He's got a. What would you call his hair? Just like
I don't know what to call that
because it doesn't seem big enough for an afro.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
What would you call that hair?
I'm not sure. Honestly.
It's like a. It just fits him. It's his kind of hair.
Now, if you think that's crazy, Draven, I want you to Google Frank Martin bald.
Oh, I saw that. No, I got a picture of that. Oh, boy.
He looks like a completely different human.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You could have shown me him outside of a South Carolina shirt, and I would have not had any clue who that was. Even if he was coaching in the South Carolina game, I would have assumed he was coaching the other team. I'd be like, who the hell is this guy?
Yep.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression that needs to be released, and we've got just the perfect way for you to do it. Throwing axes at Kraft Axe Throwing. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville on 5th Avenue, Kraft Axe Throwing offers beers, seltzers, TVs, and axe throwing, and is the absolute best way to spend an evening with friends. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. Plan your visit today at craftaxethrowing.com.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both my home and business right now. It's reliable pest control from general pests to termites, bed bugs, biting insects, mosquitoes. They've got you covered here in Knoxville. Give them a call, 865-591-2781, or head on over to pestcontrolknoxvilletn.com or just search for Apex Pest Control, your complete pest management company.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Malone at Knoxville Smiles. Did you know that there's not been one documented case of somebody being infected with the virus in a dental office? It's very safe. You and your family should feel comfortable going to get your teeth cleaned or...
On the program, let's head over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get our friend Lucas Panzica. Big Luke, what's up, Luke? Man, how are you?
Good, man. I guess it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. That's what happens when you get all these cancellations, and then we cancel the show, and you forget 1 week. But it's been about a month. But we're back at it. Happy to have you on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's just go ahead.
I guess we're even now because I lost track of time 2 weeks ago, and then 1 week ago I was calling an empty studio.
Yeah, you were calling an empty studio. Thanks for listening to the show before you called in, by the way. But either way, where are we at right now with Tennessee football? What are your current thoughts on Tennessee football?
Well, look, we're just looking at one thing on Saturday, right? We're looking at who comes out at quarterback. I think if Garantano trots out there for the first series, if you're real quiet, you're going to hear the collective sound of TVs being turned off across the state of Tennessee. In my mind, that is the number one, two, and three storyline going into Saturday. A win is out of the question. I don't even want to entertain that. It's just what Tennessee does at quarterback. What kind of life can possibly be breathed into this offense?
I'm wondering how much people actually even care if Harrison Bailey plays. Like, I mean, in terms of, you know, you said that's the storyline. I don't even know if that moves the needle for me at this point. You know, if Harrison Bailey comes out and plays really well, I think that would get some people excited, but otherwise, him just coming out and playing, I don't think necessarily gets me back feeling excited. Is that fair or foul?
Yeah, certainly fair. It's not going to save the season by any stretch, but it's really all people have to hang on to right now, right? Because otherwise, what reason do you have to watch this football game? Look, Florida just is coming off a week where its lowest point total of the season was a 34-10 win over Kentucky. You know, Harrison Bailey can be the next coming of Peyton Manning, and Tennessee's not going to outscore Florida on Saturday. So if you don't have that to look for on Saturday and to keep your eye on and give you a reason to watch the game, then I struggle to find any reason to really watch it.
Yeah. How bad do you think this game's going to get, Lucas?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be pretty bad. I think we're looking at what's the biggest blowout loss of the season? So the biggest point differential loss of the season? Is it Kentucky? It actually might be Kentucky.
I think it is Kentucky so far. They beat you 38-7, I think, because Alabama beat you by like 26 and Georgia beat you by 22. So I do think Kentucky has kicked your ass worse than anybody else.
Yeah, so I think you're looking at a bigger point differential than that. If Garantano is taking a lot of the snaps, I think that's what you're looking at. Otherwise, yeah, this is a three-possession game at minimum in my mind. Tennessee is not – nobody has stopped this Florida offense so far. Tennessee's not going to be the first.
So you're looking at that – what do we got?
We got some breaking news.
A little bit of breaking news. Hold on. What do we got?
Michigan has canceled their game with Maryland for COVID problems.
So there might be something to Michigan trying to screw Ohio State out of the Big Ten Championship just by canceling the rest of their season. Ohio State wouldn't hit their minimum games, and that would be Jim Harbaugh's first win over Ohio State, keeping them out of the Big Ten Conference Championship. Any fears, Big Luke, you're in Nashville right now. Any fears about this Tennessee-Vanderbilt game since we're talking COVID? I believe it was Chad Withrow came on the show yesterday and was saying that Vandy's dealing with a bunch of opt-outs over this woman soccer player, and that combined with COVID puts Vanderbilt's season in jeopardy. Have you heard anything in Nashville like that?
Well, that's a very real feeling right now around Vanderbilt. A lot of the opt-outs were due to that kind of the publicity that grew around the Sarah Fuller stuff. Look, Vanderbilt's been struggling with that all season, whether it's guys opting out or just quitting or transferring. They've had just a record number of opt-outs over there. So I do not think it's just unfeasible that Vanderbilt does not have enough players to field a team come Tennessee game. So, and look, we don't even have a concrete date for that, right? I guess it's on the 19th, although I don't know that that's really been hammered into stone. So,
no, I think the thought process was that it would be the 12th, right? Wasn't that, Hayden, wasn't the idea that Tennessee would play Vanderbilt on the 12th?
Yeah, that was the rumor. They were going to play the 12th, and then A&M on the 19th.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say that. I thought that was the date, Lucas.
Well, either way, that is a very real thought right now that Vanderbilt might not be able to field the team for that game. They're at Georgia this weekend, and that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. So you haven't seen anything breaking that they're not going to play against Georgia this weekend. But I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. Everything is day-to-day right now, and pretty much everything we're doing, whether on all levels of sports. So it's totally up in the air, but that is not – I do not think that is out of the question. And if that's what happens, then, yeah, you're looking at a 7-game losing skid to close out the season for Tennessee and a 2-7 record.
Oh, man. Talking with Lucas Panzeca, digital content creator for 104.5 The Zone, covers the Vols on Vols Wire, contributor over at Saturday Down South covering the SEC on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If Harrison Bailey doesn't look out of this world, doesn't look like an elite freshman, and Tennessee loses by 24 points, what chances do you give that this would lead to Philip Fulmer pulling the plug on Jeremy Pruitt this week?
I still struggle to think that's going to happen this week, certainly this week. Look, if Bailey just comes out and looks serviceable, I think that will be enough for people to hang on to, whether it's Tennessee fans or Philip Fulmer or the administration. If he just shows some semblance of promise that they can build something around him, I mean, if the guy can just go through a few simple progressions and make some throws, then I think that would be enough to create some hope for Tennessee. Now, if he comes out and then everything is just dreadful and it's clear that it's just everything about this offense is the problem, not just that quarterback, then maybe you have to start thinking about it. But I really struggle to think that Tennessee will pull the trigger on Pruitt after the Florida game. Stranger things have happened, and we're seeing around college football that it's not out of the question for coaches to get fired. I mean, it's crazy to think that Vanderbilt actually fired Derek Mason, as the second school to make a move in the SEC this season. But I just don't see it, man. Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach going into the 12th against A&M, and if they play Vanderbilt, I'm assuming he's the head coach for that game as well.
Like I said, Lucas is in Nashville covering Tennessee, covering Nashville sports. Has there been? I just forgot what I was going to ask. I just had a little mini stroke here. Hold on. Nashville. What were we just talking about? Vanderbilt. COVID. Nope. I lost it. Okay.
Oh no.
I know. I lost it. It was a good question too. It was a great question.
Oh, that's going to eat at me now.
It's going to eat at me too. Say something else. Start talking about something else as I think about it. Give me your take.
The Titans are 8-3.
Riff on the Titans, 8-3. Titans, 8-3. Elite offense. Jeremy Pruitt. Okay, hey. Yeah, I remember what I was going to ask. So, like I said, you're in Nashville. Has there been any of the reports on what Derek Mason's buyout actually was? Because I know that's not like widely available with Vanderbilt being a private right. institution. Has there been any rumored numbers in the Nashville circles?
So, listening to Chris Lee, who covers Vanderbilt very closely throughout the week, you're not going to see anything concrete on this because, yeah, like you said, it's not public information. The number that Lee was thrown out, and he made it clear he wasn't reporting it, was just kind of the number that he kind of had come to, is about $7 million.
Okay.
So we're not going to have anything concrete, but that was just sort of his educated guess on what that buyout is. Which, props to Vanderbilt, and we'll see how they do this moving forward.
So not a huge, not like a South Carolina $12 million investment, not like Tennessee would be facing at like $16 or $17 million. So just $7 million. That's still a lot for a Vanderbilt program, right?
Yeah,
like especially
absolutely.
That's been gutted, that doesn't take football as seriously as everyone else. So that is a pretty significant number for them, if it is close to the $7 million that Chris Lee speculated on.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt's done, hasn't given anybody any evidence to show that they're willing to get behind athletics and to go the extra mile, especially with the football program. So, it caught everybody a little off guard when they made that move before the end of the season. So I credit Candace Lee. And, you've heard a lot of empty promises from Vanderbilt over the years, and those have kind of continued over this last week. We'll see if anything is done. But I'm interested to see who they bring in. I think the name being thrown around over here the most is Will Healy, which to me would be the move that makes the most sense. But, this is, you're seeing moves being made in college football, which is something that we just assumed wouldn't happen this season.
I wonder how much the Sarah Fuller being added to the team, having a bunch of eyeballs on it, getting beat 41-0, and then having the stories of her like in the locker room having to like be a leader. I wonder how much that played into Derek Mason getting fired, or if it's just simply he's been there 7 years, they're 0-8, and they're not getting any better.
Yeah, look, I don't think that the Sarah Fuller thing was just totally 100% a publicity stunt. I don't understand getting all worked up about it, too. Like, let her have this moment. It's a cool thing. First woman to play in a Power 5 game. It sucks that it drew probably more viewers than any other Vandy game in the season, and they put out their worst performance of the year, which is really saying something. But, yeah, look, regardless of all that history she made, the fact that she had to be the one to step up at halftime and make that speech.
Yeah, like, that was the most damning thing there, Lucas. That she did it, and then I would have been very angry if it got out afterwards that like she's in there talking about it to the media. And like, that seems tough. And we had players from Vanderbilt opt out afterwards, so I think it didn't go over well in that locker room. I'm kind of surprised she's back on the depth chart this week.
Did you see the rumor that they had a kicker like on campus that was just like in the medical program or something?
Yeah.
And he offered to come back, and they went with her, and some players are mad about that. Huh. So something like that.
What are you going to say, Lucas?
Well, the funniest thing about it is she said that a coach kind of came up to her after her little halftime speech. She's like, hey, thank you for saying that. I've been wanting to say that for a while,
That's pitiful.
That to me was the whole most funny. It's like, dude, you're the coach. And said, say something. So,
I was really scared to say it. I needed someone to do it. Well, how about you do it? It's like when the offensive coordinator is like, we got to find a way to get so-and-so the ball. Like, you're calling the plays, bro.
Right, exactly. The halftime thing to me was the most embarrassing thing about that. But I'm not going to sit here and get worked up over it. I've seen people just spend way too much time complaining about this situation. Let her have her moment. But that's an indictment of the entire culture of the football program with someone who's been on the team for a few weeks. Someone who's only played the sport for a few days is the one stepping up to make that halftime speech.
It's a bad thing when it happens on primetime TV and has a bunch of eyeballs on it. I know Vanderbilt Missouri wasn't on primetime, but they had a bunch of eyeballs on that game and just realized how bad Vanderbilt's offense was, how bad their defense was, how bad the culture is, and that's got Derek Mason fired. Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee will be smack dab front and center primetime, 3:30 on Saturday against Florida. Lucas, do you have a score prediction? Pain? What are you looking at this weekend?
Pain, that's my score prediction. Like, I'm looking at like in the ballpark of 48-10, something like that. Like I said, Tennessee's not going to be the first to stop this Florida offense. Georgia wasn't able to do it. Kentucky wasn't able to do it. Nobody's been able to do it so far. We'll see if Bama is in the SEC title game. But it's turned into the definition of insanity, right, for Tennessee, just doing the same thing over and over with no result or expecting a different result. Something's got to change here. And the quickest thing you point to is quarterback. So, and you got to step forward today with Pruitt saying, yeah, we'll play Bailey. Not sure how much, but to me, it also feels like a resignation of this game on Saturday of just kind of, instead of saying, let's roll with him and see what he can do for us and maybe pull something out. He's just kind of saying, yeah, we'll throw him in. We'll see how much we play him.
To me, Florida's up 24-0. We'll probably put Bailey in and see what he's got.
That's how it feels to me. So it'll be interesting, but that's just the big thing everybody's got their eyes on this week, and rightfully so.
Tennessee Two-A-Days. We're all going to listen to Tennessee Two-A-Days on Apple.
Yeah, Apple or iTunes and SoundCloud. We were recording last Monday, and then while we were recording, we got like 2 minutes in, we got the news that the Vanderbilt game had been pushed. So kind of we're processing that and talking about Tennessee Auburn. So that's on SoundCloud. You can check it out, Tennessee Two-A-Days.
Lucas, appreciate you as always, brother. Talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Till next week.
Lucas Panzeca joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Cam, take us out.
The newest way to save money is also the easiest way to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, entertainment, and travel. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Enjoy these benefits with a checking account from Citizens National Bank.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Find out more at cmbtn.com. Member FDIC.
We know everyone has some pent-up aggression that needs to be released, and we've got just the perfect way for you to do it. Throwing axes at Craft Axe Throwing. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville on 5th Avenue, Craft Axe Throwing offers beers, seltzers, TVs, and axe throwing, and is the absolute best way to spend an evening with friends. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off of your booking. Plan your visit today at craftaxthrowing.com.
Hi, this is Lizzie McDaniel with the Kregner Group at United Real Estate Solutions. For the heroes of our community, owning your dream home has never been easier thanks to Homes for Heroes. This is for military, police officers, firefighters, healthcare workers, and teachers. Find your dream home at significant savings through Homes for Heroes. Call me to find out more at 865-964-7361 or visit bonoshouses.com. The Kregner Group. Real estate the right way.
We got the best deals by far. If you want to buy a car, come on down.
Hey, this is Jamie at Alden Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike.
Here's the skinny. Only a penny delivers today at 9711 Kingston Pike. Alden Franklin Motors, over $1 million worth of trucks, and a penny down delivers today, right now.
We have the best pricing and the best selection. How do we do it? High volume. Cars arriving daily right here, right now.
Come on down.
Only a penny delivers today.
Everybody rides at Alden Franklin Motors with guaranteed credit approval regardless of your credit history. Alden Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike has over 300 vehicles to choose from with financing for everyone.
Remember, a penny down delivers at Alden Franklin Motors right here, right now. Jeep, Wranglers, cars, trucks, SUVs, everything at 9711 Kingston Pike.
693-9315, AldenFranklinMotors.com. What are you waiting on? Get here now for the best selection.
Come on now. Come on now.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch. We are now a White Claw Hard Seltzer family. Crafted using a unique brew pure process, White Claw Hard Seltzer comes in 8 refreshing flavors, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one a wave of pure refreshment. And at only 100 calories and 5% ABV, it won't weigh you down. Please drink responsibly. White Claw Seltzer, made pure.
White Claw Hard Seltzer, a wave of refreshment.
Saturday's Maryland at Michigan game canceled because of the Rona. Now we turn our attention to Michigan against Ohio State. That's what's set for next week. Michigan-Ohio State has to happen for Ohio State to be eligible for the Big Ten title game. Will that game be played, or does Michigan and Harbaugh finally stick it to Ohio State?
If I'm Michigan, I'm trying to stop this game by any means necessary.
And if I'm a Michigan player, like, we have nothing else to play for.
Mm-hmm. And for Harbaugh, it's like, you already look terrible. Losing to Ohio State is not going to help you in any way whatsoever. It's probably going to make you look worse. Gives them another reason to want you fired.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you are a fan, you don't want to watch this game be played, right?
No.
Like, if you're a fan, like, you're just like, hey, I don't want to see us get, like, none of us want to watch us get our ass kicked by Florida. Now, maybe there's a big group of Michigan fans that are like, you know what, just bite the bullet, let's get embarrassed, that way we can fire this schmohawk. Yeah. And, like, you know, there's a lot of Tennessee fans that were upset. You know, were upset when the Texas A&M game got moved because, like, we needed, you know, that extra loss might have helped things along. So there might be a group of Michigan fans who think that way. But otherwise, like, you don't want to watch your team get killed by its biggest rival.
Yeah, unless you really want Harbaugh gone, this would probably be the way to do it because, like, we've already kind of talked about it where he's already pretty much on the hot seat for sure. And, I mean, losing to Ohio State, especially big, is not going to help your cause. And it's highly unlikely you're going to actually win that game.
They're going to get killed.
There's no way.
They're going to get killed.
So, if I'm them, I'm trying to chill, trying to just...
so petty, though. This is such a petty move. Yeah, well, absolutely. Let's cancel this game so our division rival doesn't get to play in the playoffs.
Oh, I mean,
is there anything more petty you could do in college football than that?
Well, you said they wouldn't make it the playoff. Like, I think they could still get in at 4-0.
Yeah, I think really? They would, too.
I think they would...
I mean, that's what happens in the conference championship
games. No, there's no
way.
I think it would complete... I mean, you're probably right, Draven, just because I think of what it would do to the integrity of the playoff. Although, yeah. Like, in their bylaws, like, in their statement or whatever, it says they're looking for the four best teams.
Yeah, they said it doesn't matter how many games you played.
Now... Throughout most of their history, they have picked the four most deserving teams.
Mm-hmm.
For most of their history, they've gone with, like, the best resume. And not the four best teams. But you could make the case that Ohio State at four wins is proven enough when you consider preseason expectations and program prestige and all that.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, it would just look like such a smack in the face if Texas A&M went 9-1. And you had the gall to put a 4-0 Ohio State team in ahead of them.
Who wasn't even the Big Ten champion.
But honestly, is 6-0 much better? Like, do the extra two games really make a difference from 4-6? Like, I mean,
if
they beat Michigan and Northwestern, does that make them more deserving?
I think it's more about getting in the championship game, right? You have to be – if you, for you to play in the playoffs, you have to at least play in your conference championship game. Well, I mean, be not eligible, yeah, I think in this case. Because it's not like they lost a game and they're just not in the championship game because of one loss and it was a good loss to somebody that was a top team. That's not the same scenario.
I think it's almost better to just have the game canceled because of COVID, though. Is that not better than, like, losing to Alabama?
Yeah, probably.
Like, just, like, not being able to play. Because, like, everyone acknowledges, like, they would beat Michigan. You just said it yourself. And they would beat Northwestern.
Yeah.
Almost assuredly. Like, I mean, like, it's not like they would lose. It's not like they lost. Like... So is it better for Texas A&M to get their heads beat in by Alabama than it would be for Ohio State just not to play? Because like I said, the two extra games, does that really matter? It's not like Michigan's a strength of schedule boost. I guess Northwestern is. Where are they at right now? Like top 15, I guess? They lost to Michigan State.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Northwestern might be looking, and they're going to be really sad that they lost that game because there's a chance that their conference title game might be them versus, like, Indiana with no Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if Ohio State doesn't get in,
yep.
Michael Penix, and, you know, he just got hurt, so next up would be, you know, Indiana in terms of eligibility. They might have really dropped the ball there.
Big Ten's a mess.
I do agree with you, though, like in terms of you can't put them in the playoff at four wins just because of the message it sends to everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I think they're going to do it, though.
You still think Ohio State's getting in?
I think they're getting in. Like, they may just throw them at like the 4 seed just because, but I think they're going to get them in.
I could see if A&M lost another game, but you can't just look at A&M and be like, yeah, you finished the season, you played all these games, you had one loss to Alabama, you beat Florida, which is an impressive win. And at the end of the day, what's Ohio State's impressive wins? Compared
Nebraska.
To exactly. Indiana's their best win. Indiana's not good. Let's be honest. They're not that good.
They're solid.
They're solid, yeah.
They're a top 20 team.
They're a B team, yeah. But they're not.
They're a lot worse without Penix, though.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
The only I think the thing that's going to hurt A&M, though, is the fact that they got steamrolled by Alabama. It's just like, if Alabama's going to be the one seed, I feel like it's going to be hard for the committee to put A&M in at that 4 seed, because they're not going to move Notre Dame or Clemson.
No.
And put A&M at that 4 seed. And then have them play again when Alabama already beat them, 42-14. I think that kind of helps Cincinnati's case, maybe.
Don't go there, Hayden.
I mean, it could be Cincinnati.
Go there.
Well, I mean, just
if Alabama beats Florida.
I mean, yeah, when you look at it, if Alabama beats Florida and you look at Ohio State being ineligible, I would say it's going to be Clemson, Alabama, and you might put Notre Dame and – all right, I already said Clemson. You might put Notre Dame in there, so then the number four spot, like, who else would it be?
They're not going to want that matchup between A&M and Alabama again. So, I mean, they could put A&M at 3 and put Clemson at 4 or Notre Dame at 4, but Cincinnati. They're not going to want to see the 42-14 matchup again.
Oh, but we want to see Bama and Cincinnati instead. I don't know about that.
Well,
one.
I mean,
it's just it's every year, man. There's not a fourth team.
Yeah.
Although this year could have been if like Ohio State was full strength. Like,
yeah.
I think Notre Dame and Clemson are both deserving. And then Alabama and Ohio State, that would have been a pretty good 4. But I don't think we're going to end up getting that.
What if Notre Dame beats Clemson again, though? You still?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like I guess would you put Clemson in there or Cincinnati?
With two losses, that's eesh.
Yeah,
that's a fair question.
I would like some chaos this year.
Does the committee consider the matchups when they put them in? Do you think they do or no? Because if Clemson beats Notre Dame, that's probably going to be the 2 and 3 right there.
I would say they would. I would say they would make sure Clemson and Notre Dame didn't play again.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. That's the third time. So they probably put.
But
did Notre
Dame
would
you take the chance of them being in there in the national championship a third time? Like if they both ended up winning, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
How's this committee going to go through this? Imagine this process. By the way, the A&M Bama game. Speaking of giving like teams passes, wouldn't they give A&M a little bit of a pass? That was week 2. That was their second game of the year.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but also like I don't think anyone thinks it would go differently. Like A&M and Alabama has been playing that same game for the last 5 years.
Now. Yeah, it was 14-14, and then Alabama outscored them 28-0.
It was 14-0, then it was 14-14, and then it was whatever.
Runaway.
Yeah. But like I said, they've been playing that same game for 5 years. I don't think anyone would say, well, if it happened later, it would be different. No, it's going to happen the same way.
So you want Cincinnati is what you're saying.
No,
give me Bearcats.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I think Hayden's right that it would open up the door for them.
I'm not saying give it to me, but I would rather see them at A&M.
Really?
I don't know if you watched the game last weekend, which you might not have, but when they played LSU this weekend,
they did not look
good.
Suck. I watched it.
They're not good. Kellen Mond threw for 100 yards.
Just put Tennessee in,
and
cowards.
LSU is terrible. So, the fact that Kelmon can't even throw for more than 100 yards on LSU's defense.
He was just missing throws, too.
I mean,
didn't he go on a streak of like 8 straight incompletions in that game?
I mean, Bo Nix beat LSU, 40-something to 3? So, and Kelmon can't even throw more than 100 yards on him?
No, it's a concern for sure. You're right. That's why I think, like, when you actually start getting down to it, like, are you really going to put Cincinnati in? Over Ohio State that hasn't lost and just got wrecked by COVID. Yeah. So are you really going to do that?
Cincinnati still got Tulsa twice, so
Tulsa.
We'll see. I mean, Tulsa's number 24.
Yeah, at least they're ranked.
They won't be after you beat them one time though. Like if you beat them twice, that's the problem is you'll knock them out of the top 25, and then all of a sudden we'll devalue. We won't look at that win the same, even though they were ranked when you played them. The committee's going to have a tough job.
Oh yeah.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. If you